You are listening to the Paper Player Podcast, episode 12. I'm your host, Tony, and I'm joined with my friends and co-hosts, Jeff and Josh. JB is not going to be with us today. He's going to be off roasting marshmallows, so, yep. And anybody play FNM last week?
Nope.
Antonio had my deck, my friend.
Yeah, we should be ashamed
our
of ourselves.
Our friend, and somehow he got a draw with blue-red.
What was the deck he's playing? The exact deck?
He was playing the blue-red Murktide.
And got a draw. Against what?
I have no idea.
It's a really difficult deck to get a draw with because it's so power intensive. I don't know if power intensive is the right word, but it's so top heavy, like from damage standpoint. Once your win condition's on the board, it's like you're just slamming.
Right. And like if you kind of like fizzle, you kind of just fizzle and you end up dying. I have no idea.
Also, Dragon Rage Channeler has to attack, so it's like there's no choice. Like you have no choice.
You're forced to attack. Like you have to
win the damn game.
Right.
I do remember him saying like he'd only ever get like one or two one drops and they would die instantly. Like his opponents were killing him before he'd have mana to like counter back up.
Right.
But I mean, you have Bobble, and
it makes no sense that he drew that deck. I mean, it's only possible if he would have went against like a Turbo Fog deck. That's like the only time that happens.
He also said he was having mana issues, which is sometimes the game just doesn't want you to win.
Yeah. So yeah, you guys see anything cool over the weekend from Magic related? Did you guys play any Magic at all and not FNM related?
I did a couple drafts. I did a AFR draft, went 7-2 in that one. I ended up getting the Green Planeswalker, which is really gross when you just constantly go through dungeons with her while like protecting her. Like I think I hit the big +6/+6 with her by going through all three dungeons in one match. I probably slow played it. I probably could have killed my opponent earlier, but I was just having too much fun. And then I did a Amonkhet remastered, ended up going black-white tokens, ended up going 7-1 in that, and that was a lot of fun. And then I did another draft and proceeded to go 1-3, which kind of knocked me back down. I was kind of on a high, like, I'm just going to run drafts today, and then went 1-3, and I was like, all right, this feels more normal.
Finally got out of bronze, played with the silver kids, and then kicked you right back down.
Hey, man, I'm almost in platinum in draft, right? We're getting there.
Big time, dude. Josh, you playing at EDH?
I did not play EDH. However, in my work league, my coworker encountered his first instance of doubles in which he opened Wish. I don't know if you're familiar with that card from Adventures in the Forgotten Realms, which says you may play a card you own from outside the game this turn. And doubles of that, I opened one this week, and so we talked about it, and we've opened the rules up to allowing us to pull anything from like our EDH pool, which starts at Commander Legends is when we started it. So I'm gonna wish up my Tibble.
Nice. How many guys do you have in that league? Is it just you and your coworkers and multiple dudes?
There's four players. One is leaving, however, he accepted a new job offer today.
You just gotta tell him to drive by for lunch and we'll play. Just play while you're at work or on lunch or whatever.
Yeah, on lunch.
It sounds like fun.
Nice. My coworker was telling me that when he first started working there, and there was another guy that he would do this with, and the guy would show up with like Mistra's, what's the expensive one? Mistra's workshop.
In his, my God.
Without a sleeve on and just play it at the lunch table. And he had no idea what any of his stuff was worth.
Hey man, ignorance is bliss. That guy just loved his cards.
Right.
He didn't think about what happened when he riffle shuffled them. He's not thinking about grades.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I've seen people play EDH unsleeved with like dual lands that like literally look like they were chewed on.
This is only like 8 years ago we're talking about.
Oh no, I understand.
Yeah, those are still worth something. I don't know how much they were, but they were probably like $300, $400 at the time.
No, they were like $1,200 at the time.
Probably were that high actually.
Yeah, it was still the best vintage deck.
God, I can't wait for like, I just want Magic to be able to do an Eternal Weekend again.
Oh yes, please.
Like when that happens, we have to go, right? We're all going.
Oh, obviously.
Or GP Vegas, whichever one happens first.
Yeah, they're kind of one of the same because I think GP Vegas, don't they run 4 GP simultaneously?
I only went to the first GP Vegas and it was just the big Modern Masters 1 release.
That was a weird one because people legitimately, I think that's the time they changed the sealed. They changed like rules on sealed in that one because everybody was like, I opened up a Tarmogoyf. I'm just going to pick it up and walk away.
Yeah, I watched this 6-year-old kid get the double Tarmogoyf pool and he's like jumping up and down screaming on his way to the drop line.
Yeah. I got double Tarmogoyf. I think the new rule is like you and the person across from you, the person across from you opens your packs and then he marks them down and then you do the same for him and then you swap. Like, so yeah, like someone opens your actual packs, which is kind of weird, but again, it prevents like somebody from passing it because like those are my cards and those, you know, and so on.
Which is effectively the same thing that they were doing. It's just they just added words to make it that you have to pass.
Right, yeah, well, before, like, you, yeah, exactly, you switch packs with the person in front of you, but those are your packs, whereas, like, the pack that you opened, essentially the packs were four packs down, you just couldn't see. So, it was weird, but I remember that happened, that was, like, a frequent discussion that happened after, because of that specific GP, because I think Modern, the first, was a Modern Masters, was, like, so much value in that set.
Dark Confidant.
Didn't they replant Noble in that, too?
Noble Hierarch was in there.
Was it really? I don't remember it being in there.
Aether Vial, I think, was in the first one.
Yes.
That was.
And it was only a rare.
The swords.
There was a lot of value in that set.
Lots of value.
Yeah, that was before like the true EDH boom. You remember back then when you had to open up packs? Or not packs, when a new set came out and a reprint would happen and you'd be so excited because there'd be like now two ways to get Lava Spike. And this is before like the Master set. But the only time that we ever got reprints was like legit when they were getting reprinted in Standard.
Yep.
But back then, like, I just remember playing Extended and so many commons that, like, because I started in 2010 and there was commons like Lava Spike from like 2000, whenever the, from Champ, I think Kamigawa, which is like 2005 or 2004. Right. That are like, well, nobody really has these. And at that time, the internet wasn't used or utilized as much. So it's just like you couldn't get these cards and you just had to pay $10 for commons.
Oh, yeah. I remember at one point, I feel like Ataxian Probe was like $20.
There's a point in time where Kitchen Finks was $30.
I never paid $30 for Kitchen Finks. When Modern first came out, I remember just going to like stores and searching their bulk for quarter cards and just getting so many like commons and just selling them immediately. But even then, it was expensive.
Right. Yeah, I remember even after the reprint, it was still $8.
Also, product print run was so limited.
Right. It was over within 2 weeks.
Sure, there's still sealed boxes out there, but my goodness, it went so fast. Drafts were just popping off left and right, and then just people buying boxes. And they weren't 36 card or 36 pack boosters; they were 24. So you're just the overall amount that you got was just so limited. Yeah, what was the math on the Tarmogoyfs? I guess it was like in 24 packs, you'd get I think it was 20 mythics, and you get like 4 mythics per box.
3 mythics per box is
what. But you also had a higher chance because every pack came with a foil too. So like that was an added card because didn't it replace the basic land that would be in a pack?
You would still only get like 1 rare or mythic per box on
average. I know. Yeah, I'm saying like.
I still think the like average number of mythics was like closer to 3 than it was to 4.
Is Modern Masters the first reprint set that wasn't just like a core, like since 10th edition? Because M10 was like pseudo reprint, but it had brand new cards. If I'm not mistaken, 10th edition just had straight up reprints, right? That's what core sets were.
Yeah.
Most of the time, yeah.
No, it was like half. Yeah, I think the editions were all reprints. But once you got to like M whatever, it was half reprints, half new cards.
And now with like Dungeons of the Forgotten Realm, it's just like 100% new cards.
Most part, yeah.
It's good for Arena, I guess. Kind of leads me to like kind of product fatigue. This year has got to be the most amount of product they've released, right?
Oh yeah,
I think so. Yeah, I mean, the year's not over with yet, but I'm sure at the end of the year, but in the shareholders report, it'll say this was the year.
What do we get? We have We're gonna have 5 standard sets printed this year because we have one in January.
Kaldheim was the January one. March or April was Strixhaven. Then we just got AFR, and before that we had Modern Horizons 2.
Also, don't forget Time Spiral Remastered.
Yep.
And a whole bunch of Commander decks, because I think even the Commander sets, what was the Commander themed one this year? Because usually one of them gets like 5.
Strixhaven.
And then this one also has 4 additional ones too.
Yep. Right. Plus Modern Horizons 2 had EDH decks.
Did it really?
I'm like pretty sure they did.
2 secret lair super drops.
Well, last year there was like something like 75 different like secret layers.
Yeah, I'm gonna discount secret layers because that's like not a pack I can buy at Walmart. Yeah,
it's still a product though.
It is. It is for sure.
And but it's pushed. It's like advertised everywhere.
Well, you gotta sell them, dude. They print on demand. I think that my number one gripe with secret layer is you fork up the money today and you don't get the cards for 6 months.
That is true. And maybe you needed something from it like pretty soon. And
well, I would have never banked on that because I knew they were going to be out, but they always get pushed back. Like if I pay for something in July and I should suspect it typically in August or maybe September at the latest, but like this one's not coming out for a while.
Well, that's because like shipping in general, there's a lot of things that have problems right now.
The dream is sealed, right? That you can't collect one of every card. Like if you started 5 years ago, you had like, well, you had a chance because you could like slowly pick up old cards while obtaining new cards.
There was always that guy at the store who had the binder of I'm collecting one of every card.
Does Star City and Channel Firewall still offer like 4x everything in the set?
I think so.
I haven't followed them in a very long time like that.
I remember like the last time I considered doing that was like Mirrodin Besieged, and it was like $699 for 4x of everything in the set, and I was like, maybe I should do this, and then I didn't.
You know what else you can't do anymore? You remember when people would do pack for power?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that was ever real, to be honest. I think that was all memes.
I think that was all like, you know, gloating and like made up. But yes, I do remember.
I'm saying having the dream, it at least seemed plausible back then. Now I just, that's literally impossible, I think.
Gone from packs to power. I've done that. I turned the case of Khans of Tarkir into an ancestral recall, effectively.
That's a lot of fetches, though.
Yeah, it was a lot of fetches.
Feels impossible. And let me just rephrase it. It's not even from a wallet standpoint. It's just keeping up with the product. Like, there's so many. Like, I'm talking, like, truly one of everything. One of every promo. One of every additional product. Like, it's just it doesn't feel impossible.
And remember a year or two ago when they were doing like the mythic editions? Imagine you were that guy. You couldn't even get those. I was trying to get those mythic editions with the full art Ugin and the Jace the Mind Sculptor, and they sold out in negative seconds.
Oh yeah, you're right. I forgot about those, the San Diego Comic-Con promos, like those things.
No. It was like it was mythic edition, like Dominaria, where it was like a box Well, they did it for Dominaria too, is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah.
What happened? Like, those.
Well, on the website when the drop happened, and there was only a set number, and they sold out in like negative seconds.
They were selling some still, and then they contacted people and told them, "Well, sorry, we can't actually fill your order." Yep, and they just sent them a foil sheet for the set. Oh,
that's why I have. Okay, I did that. I have a foil sheet sitting. I forgot.
Which isn't really even that beneficial because you're shipping out so many foil sheets now. Those foil sheets are worth less because there's so many out there.
Right. There's so many like foil Teferis that are like not factory cut or NFC for those who don't know. They're like crazy looking Teferis and stuff.
It was terrible.
I saw someone do a silly scissors draft with one of those sheets where you got a pair of silly scissors, which are like the scissors with like the weird shapes on the blade. So you cut it and you had to cut your card off the sheet, and that was what you drafted.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
I thought that was pretty funny.
That is pretty cool. That's a good way to make fun of that thing, because it was free. Because I remember I got the refund, and then I got two sheets because I ordered a double, because they allowed, I don't know why they allowed people to buy two, but whatever. But it's free. I still have mine. But I think like every game store I go to has them hanging up. Like everybody framed them. It was expensive to get them framed.
If you did it yourself, you could do it for like $35. But
just get it professionally done.
Right.
Oh, you know, it's locked in place. You're not worried about it. The few things I want to talk about today is the new Midnight Hunt cards that we were spoiled. And then before that, actually, Modern and where it stands today. So one of the things we've been calling for, not calling for, but the community has been kind of calling for is bans. And we finally see Modern kind of play out. So Josh, I know you're a big guy that's on the blue-red Delver list, or the blue-red prowess decks, whatever you want to call it. Do you think your deck needs to be put in its place anymore or kind of get a card snipped from it?
I think the format's entirely healthy. If Mishra's Bauble did end up eating something, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think it needs to right now. I think it's entirely healthy. There's enough answers and interaction stuff to play, and yeah, I think the format's solving itself, which is what Modern's supposed to do.
Yeah, that's a good thing, man. And I mean, the week before that, I mean, Jeff, you saw how like everybody was going up in arms about like Urza Saga and how that kind of got sorted out.
Oh, yeah, like, I don't even really see Urza Saga around much, except for in the Hammer Time deck. Everyone freaked out right away because they thought it was going to be gross, and, like, most of the decks I played in Fallout, you don't really see Infect, or not Infect, but Affinity anymore. You don't see the food deck really come around anymore. They're just too slow. It's really hard. Like, Dragon Rage Chandler's really good. Bauble's really good. I don't think anything needs to be banned. I agree with Josh that if Mistress Bauble got banned, I wouldn't be surprised and I wouldn't be upset about it. But really, nothing needs to be banned. There's no one deck that's running the format. This isn't an Oko situation or a Hogak situation where like there's one card just dominating.
Like Renin 6.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Renin 6 is a lot in Modern.
Well, that's right.
It's just not a lot
legacy.
Of legacy.
Yeah,
Wasteland exists there. Yeah, it's a little weird. And I think my favorite part about the last couple weeks of Modern is being able to actually see old decks come out of the woodwork. I've been seeing Tron come back, or versions of Tron. I've even seen a few Jund lists come here and there, and then Mill's kind of like the new thing, but not like at the same time. It's not like it made me had to like go dig out a Kozilek out of my box.
The 5-0 lists that show up with like Enchantress and stuff. I think that's cool.
It might have just been like the hype was all around like trying the new cards, and because there was such a demand for them, everybody was playing them, and that kind of pushed them to the front. Nobody's really playing Tron when Ragavans were out, because everybody's like, I want to play Ragavan. And is Tron playing Urza Saga yet?
No.
When I was watching streams just an hour ago, the person playing it was playing the land in Tron.
Oh, okay. The one guy I played against, was that last 2 weeks ago, he didn't have it. I just feel like that's not that great. Like, yeah, you get it three turns later, you're losing a land.
I mean, sometimes just the construct wins the game by itself, though.
Do you think people are just like so ban heavy, or ban like they want to ban things immediately? Just because the consequences that we had, because we really did have to suffer through Oko for an absurd amount of time.
The card should never have been printed.
I don't know if it should never have been printed. It should have just been. Yeah, you know what? Never mind. You're right. It should never have been printed.
In the shape that it came in, or whatever, as it was written, it shouldn't have been printed. But I think the one they tried to fix it or whatever on Arena, the 4 mana, and it's like +1 make a food and -2 do the thing, then it's fine.
Do you think you could change one thing about Oko and it would make it an okay card?
Yep, I do. I think if you just made Oko's food, not artifacts.
All right, I was gonna say, I think you make him a 5-drop and you can leave him the way he is.
Right, yeah.
He wouldn't be coming down in Legacy on turn 2, or Modern format on turn 2, or Standard on turn 2. He was coming down on turn 2 in every format, you name it. Everybody, there was Gilded Goose in Standard, there was Land of War Elves in Pioneer, you had Noble Hierarch, and then when you go to older formats, Lotus Petals, Lox Diamonds, you name it. He was just coming down all the time on turn 2.
Yep, I think turn or 5-drop makes it earliest turn 3.5, 4, depending on like how much ramp you're running, and like gives your opponent ample time to be prepared for it.
Well, 5-drop is also like there's a big consequence with it being a 5-mana, right? I don't feel bad Force of Negation or Force of Willing a 5-drop. I do feel bad Force of Negating your turn 2 play.
Yep, agreed.
And I think that's like ultimately where that card is like problematic. But I mean, we saw it with even Uro. Like, again, it's the consequence that we've played this with these cards too long.
I don't know how Uro, like that card, just looking at it, it was just so nasty to look at. 6/6 on the recurrable thing like that. What are you guys thinking?
After playing against those cards too, it felt like years of having to play against it. And that card, like that set's still in Standard. It's not rotated yet.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's like, still here.
I feel like we could talk all day about how like overpowered Throne is. So
I guess I'm not trying to look at like Throne of Eldraine. I just think it's people just want to avoid the situation of even Hogak. I mean, Hogak was kind of dealt with early, but I think cards died for its sins.
They did.
Faithless Looting.
Yeah, Faithless Looting was a big one. I mean, I'm glad that doesn't exist now, because clearly we'd probably have to see a ban.
I think a lot of stuff died for Urza Sins, too.
No, Mox Opal needed to go.
Probably.
I think Mox Opal, the big issue, we've mentioned it before, but it's when they changed the legend rule is when it became a problem.
Agreed.
It's the same thing with like Gaia's Cradles. Like elves used to get punished for playing four Gaia's Cradles, because everyone you drew after that wasn't off of crop rotation, they just didn't do what the thing is supposed to do. All right, so we do have some hot new cards coming from the new set that's coming out. What's it called? New Midnight Hunt or Twilight Moon, or what is it called? What's the name of the set?
Midnight Hunt. Innistrad Midnight Hunt.
Team Jacob.
We haven't seen werewolves in the set. I wonder if they've confirmed it. Maybe they're waiting to the next set, because there is. So we're coming on like a unique experience with the standard sets, where we actually have like back-to-back standard sets within a month of each other.
Oh my god, so much product.
I think one's supposed to be werewolf theme, and the other one's supposed to be like a vampire wedding.
Midnight Hunt is going to be werewolf, because it makes the most sense. Yeah, the symbol's even AFR.
Them howling at the moon.
Ow!
You want werewolves, you gotta wait for Renin 12.
Yeah. Wow. I hope they do something cool with Renin whatever, and just like every number adds a different color. Like, it's like his whole theme is he gets different hosts.
That would be cool.
Like running one where he's just like a 5-color one.
It is a different tree.
Yeah, that is dope. He's always got to be base green, but just do like every different version of green, I guess. So how many combinations is that? You get mono green.
Oh, man.
You get four other ally colors, four tricolors, four colors, or three. Is it less than that? No, it's four.
Could you have a swamp that's a tree that's not a forest?
Nah, man, he can't do that. He don't want to get wet.
An underground. Does it have to be a tree? Could it be like, could he be like running eight and it's like a jellyfish and he's blue?
Yeah, he could be. That's what
the host. I guess they've never, all they've released is that he has different hosts. I don't think they specifically said it has to be a tree.
It's fair. But it makes sense that he would be, I guess.
They just called it a host. So I imagine if you find something dumb enough that he can take over.
I mean, there's still more Chandras than there will be of any other Planeswalker ever.
I'm okay with that. But there's so many.
Dude, there's guy. We'll get in there. I'll put in the show notes the exact amount of Chandras there are, but I know there's a ton. All right, let's go over some sweet cards, dude. So the first one to go over, I'll just read this one off, is Renin 7. This is a Planeswalker of the new set. It's got four abilities, and it's green 3, and it comes with 5 loyalty. The first ability is +1, reveal the top 4 cards of your library, put all land cards revealed this way into your hand, and the rest into your graveyard. So it's got a good way to like fuel the graveyard if that becomes relevant. 0, you can put any number of lands from your hand onto the battlefield tap, which is going to be fantastic for EDH. -3, you can create a green tree folk creature token with reach, and its power and toughness is equal to the number of lands you control. So the big thing with that thing is that it's got reach, so it can actually block flyers. And then -8, return all permanents from your graveyard to your hand. You get an emblem that you have no maximum hand size. This card, is going to be good?
100%. I don't know if it'll see in any play past Pioneer, but this card's insane. It does everything.
In a landfall shell, it's going to be really explosive.
I mean, the -3, just playing this in any green deck makes you, it almost guarantees you just a 5/5 with reach. Like, what in Pioneer or Standard really can deal with a 5/5?
Raising Borrower.
It won't be in Standard when this comes out. Although there's another card in this set that's been revealed that'll deal with the creature, but I don't know. I just think this card does a lot.
It's got a lot of words on it.
Yeah.
I think it's an EDH all-star because, I mean, it just reads, like, really powerful in EDH, like, with all the doubling season effects. I mean, even just -8ing it, like, and just returning all permanents, that seems like a great move to do.
I was going to say, I think his ultimate is actually his weakest ability on this card.
Praetor's Council?
That's worse than Praetor's Council. Praetor's Council returns your entire graveyard.
It's all permanents. It's pretty weak.
Looking at the top four, putting all the lands into play, and then putting all the other stuff into your graveyard, you can do a bunch of stuff with that. Putting all the land.
All the flavor nerds are going to love this card for their EDH deck.
Pure awesomeness for your EDH deck. It's hard not to like this card. This is going to be more of a blue-green card because you're going to want to be able to supply this with like massive amounts of draw.
Oh, agreed.
I think that's where it's going to be most powerful in EDH. More wheel effects. You can do green-red and team it with the original Renin 6, but he's kind of not that great.
Eternal-wise, it competes with Nissa, and I just don't think it's better than Nissa. Eternal.
Pioneer standpoint, either Renin 7 or Nissa see like Modern or Legacy play, but yeah, in Pioneer, Nissa's all over the place just because it can go from, you know, turn 4 Nissa into turn 5 Ugin's or whatever giant planeswalker you want to play.
It's pretty gross.
All right. Jeff, you want to read off what Play with Fire is going to do?
All right. So next we got Play with Fire. It costs 1 red for an instant. Play with Fire deals 2 damage to any target. If a player is dealt damage this way, scry 1. So basically it's literally what we talked about last week with improving like old cards. It's just shock, but better.
There's been like a million shock variants, right? We have like Burst Lightning. We have, what's the one that you can't gain life? I forget, that's played in Pioneer. Or damage can't be prevented. What's that?
Wild Slash.
Yep, there's that one. And I think there's one currently in Standard too, isn't there? That gets played.
Crusher Giant.
Well, that one costs 2, so it's a little bit different.
No, Shock is
actual Shock.
Yeah, Shock is in Standard.
For some reason, I thought there was another version of that. But yeah, dude, this is, I think of Magma Jet when I see this card. And that card was like played way back then, but that costs 2. And you get the Scry 2 off this one, but this is like very similar to that.
I mean, people are already playing Shock right now. This is just a strict upgrade, so.
Yeah, Shock.
I think if you're running Shock, you just replace it with this. There's no reason not to. The only time
individuals that are playing Pioneer, you'll be upgrading your Wild Slashes with this, you think?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
As long as there's no Heliod deck running around, yeah.
Well, yeah, you can't have Heliod.
Is Heliod banned?
Wasn't Walking Ballista banned?
I don't remember.
One of the two was banned. That's all I know. When they banned the
with Pioneer.
It got banned when they banned the card from Oops All Spells that was like winning them a game.
I have no knowledge at all.
I don't think there's any reason to play Wild Slash over this.
There's like pseudo reasons, because I guess if something has protection from red, it would be better. But that's like the only time, because its damage can't be prevented, not the life gain clause.
I guess that's true.
But even then, like, I think the Scry is more powerful than that, because it's going to be going to the dome anyways. Yeah, that's kind of a push card for this set, so it's kind of weird. Josh, you want to read off what Infernal Grasp does?
Infernal Grasp is a instant for one in one black mana. Uncommon. Destroy target creature, you lose two life. So we've got better Doomblade with Thoughtseize downside. This card will be played in pretty much a lot of formats. I think this card goes maybe even all the way back to Legacy.
Do you think Death Shadow will play this over Dismember?
100%.
Maybe. Yeah, actually.
Well, Dismember always has to cost. You can get Dismember to cost one. This card costs two, so it's a little bit problematic from that standpoint.
I guess that's true. Also, I looked it up. Walking Ballista is banned.
He was right.
I think, I don't know if this card goes back to Legacy. I think it goes to Modern.
I mean, but it could go back to Legacy.
Oh, I'm not saying it won't. I'm just saying I personally don't think it will, but
cards like the big Murktide and stuff are really, really a problem. I think this might be good. Cards that dodge like Fatal Push, if those become more prevalent, I definitely see this becoming premier removal.
Don't those decks just normally play Source to Plowshare instead then when Fatal Push isn't good?
I mean, if you're changing colors.
Yeah, so if you just specifically only have like a black route to playing colors,
it's, oh, agreed, just, yeah.
It's just Fatal Push right now. I don't think there's any Go for the Throats or any Doomblades like, for that matter, or Terror, whatever version you want to play, or even there's other versions. Oh, Heartless Act. I don't think anybody plays that one either.
I was going to say in Modern, that card sees play Heartless Act, and I think this replaces that.
Terminate would be a comparable argument. Terminate is better than this card. It costs an additional mana or whatever.
Additional color. Which is big.
The Regeneration Clause, which barely does, it doesn't matter anymore, but yeah. Oh, I think 2-mana removal spells are just kind of a thing of the past. I think this card's a little bit too late for its time. It'll probably be solid in Standard, but Standard's kind of been about Planeswalkers for the last couple of years anyways.
That's why I was thinking about when I go to Legacy, because I play the 2-mana one that destroys a creature or Planeswalker that costs 3 or less. Eliminate. Because I play that card, and I had a lot of success with it when I was playing Ninjas. There are Shadow decks in Legacy, whether or not they're like actually competitive, I'm not entirely sure. They do show up. This card's the best Terror they've ever printed. It's pretty good.
I'm gonna shoot this card down. I don't think it's gonna see playing Legacy because 2-mana is a lot and it's a wasteland format. So you gotta be always prepared. That's why 1-mana is like so key in that format, because you can basically respond to everything but Murktide with, well, even Murktide if you're playing Source of Plowshares with 1-mana. And then in Modern, the Fetch Shocks are just already doing so much damage to your life total. And with Lightning Bolt being at like an all time high right now, I don't think you can afford paying 2 life. Maybe if like Lightning Bolt were to go away, I guess if Uro was the thing in Modern, this card would be good, but it's not.
Get behind that. I could agree with that.
All right. Yeah, everything you said is valid. This card will be good. It just needs its time to shine. Like right now, with how Modern is, I agree with you, Tony. I don't think it's going to be immediately relevant. But like Modern slows down, we start seeing, you know, big flashy creatures come by that are getting around Fatal Push, and like the other one, Prismatic Ending's the hot one right now, because Prismatic Ending doesn't kill Murktide either. Even what's the other one? The Stormwing Entity is the other one that I was getting around people, and they were getting mad at me.
Yep. That's a good one, too.
I do think it'll show up. Like, I don't think it's going to be immediately effective, but it will come in time. This card will see some play.
I guess if Snapcaster decks come back around, this is okay, because this card's, like, for sure not a 4 of, right?
No. Two of at most, I think.
Right.
Probably pairs best with Snapcaster, where in the matchups where it's, like, awesome against, you're like, sweet, this is great, but then the matchups where it's, like, terrible, you're like, oof, I don't want this in my deck. All right, we're on to the next card. The next card that I wanted to talk about is Consider. We officially have seen an upgraded Opt when Modern like had its format. It was like Serum Visions was kind of the marquee card, and then Opt came around, and now Opt's kind of the key card for that format, and I think Consider is way better. But Consider, one blue instant, look at the top card of your library, you may put that card into your graveyard, draw a card.
Insane.
Yeah, I love this card.
Keep printing more stuff to make Phoenix better. I'm okay with this.
Printing more, push blue red cards, push blue red cards.
So do you think foil ops just go out the window? Like, we don't see ops ever again because this is legal in Pioneer.
I think you'll see some decks play both.
Off the top of my head, which whether or not it's going to be relevant or not is probably very, very low. I can think of a deck, the Rest in Peace Helm combo. I feel like that would run a run opt before you would run like this, but you would have to have a reason to like not want things in your graveyard.
Hold on. That format has the Rest in Peace Helm combo. That also allows Brainstorm, Ponder, and Preordain, right?
Right, yeah.
Why would you ever be running opt?
I'm just thinking of a corner case where you don't want to fill your graveyard.
I can't think of it. The only like you get like small, like there's going to be like that one in every 5,000 games where you accidentally consider one of your Planeswalkers when you're looking for a land or your key like combo card and someone goes, ha ha, Surgical Extraction.
Yeah, it'll happen.
It's like so random, but yeah, it's, this card is just like straight up better. No, I'm going to get on a little bit of a soapbox with this card and why it makes me angry. Not that it's because it upgraded, but the fact that it doesn't have keyword surveil. I'm done with Wizards using keyword abilities or just explaining them, but not giving the keyword.
Right. It should have surveil.
Oh, this card would be so awesome. There'd be like no text on it. It'd be straight to the point.
Right.
It could have reminder text, but do they really like think that surveil cards from Ravnica Allegiance or whatever set that came out in would get such a power bump from having surveil on it?
Even like just they could do it like they did in the last set where like there was a bunch of keyword flavors. Like you run into two gnomes. Do you want to join the gnomes or fight the gnomes or whatever the flavor keywords that they had?
Yeah. I mean, like, it was really flavor for one, but. Surveil,
there's no reason they couldn't have done it in this set for this card in particular.
But the thing is this is literally just surveil.
That's what I'm saying. There's no reason why they couldn't have just put surveil on.
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason they didn't do it. They don't want it to interact with cards that specifically have to do with surveil.
What? Your disinformation campaign?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's random cards that get like a small bump. It's like if you surveil, just surveil an additional time. Like all those other, like I don't know why they thought like, oh, this is way out of hand.
Do you think it's also because like Surveil was a unique ability to Ravnica that they didn't want to put like a one of in another set?
Weren't cards like that before? Like there was abilities that were specific to a set, Prowess. But then they became Prowess. Like, that was a great example. Prowess was exclusive to
Cons.
Yeah, and Jeskai, and then they're like, we're just gonna put this everywhere because it's great.
Right.
Yeah, there's no reason for it. They're just that's my soapbox. I get frustrated when they do it. They've done that so many times in the past. It's like, this is Metalcraft, but you're calling it not Metalcraft, but whatever.
Immediately off the top of... immediately with consider, I want to put this in over Thought Scour.
Really?
That's like where I went to is first when I first saw this card. I was like, wow, I almost like this better than Thought Scour. So,
oh, okay. I thought you said you did like it better than Thought Scour. I was like, they're two different cards.
Like I still think I'm going to play this over Thoughts. That's going to be the first change up I do to my deck when I get these in my hand. We'll see how it plays. I'm going to do, you know, I do plenty of testing and like mixing and mashing to find like the right blend I like, but
I think I get to play both.
Right.
Are you playing Serum Visions? Because I think I would replace Serum Visions with this card.
Yeah, yes. I do have two Serum Visions in, so maybe I do it that way. Maybe I just go down to two Thoughts Scours, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. We'll play around.
Jeff, why don't you read us the best flavor of the set?
Oh, man. I'm so hyped for this card. Champion of the Perished. 1 black for a 1/1. Whenever another zombie enters the battlefield under your control, put a 1/1 counter on Champion of the Perished. And, man, this card is sweet. The flavor is cool. I love how the pictures are similar. Like, it's literally just a zombie version of Champion of the Perished. I think this might be the leg up that, like, zombies needs to become an actual, like, tribal deck in, like, a lot of formats.
I'm mad that they didn't do it like they did with Ignoble Hierarch, where they had the same artist do that. I wish they would have had the same artist do it, but that's the only gripe I have with it. It is a knock out of the park in every instance.
Oh, the art is so good.
Right. Yeah, hopefully this artist gets paired with Gravecrawler in Modern.
Oh, so gross. And Carrion Feeder.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
I'm thinking more of Goblin Bombardment.
Right, that too.
That works too.
There's a million. I think this card.
You run both, actually, I feel like, in that deck.
Yeah, you're going to need Sack Outlets to get those Gravecrawlers so you can just get infinite pings and infinite damage or however. Well, do you think it'll be a Blood Artist? I don't think it'll be a Blood Artist deck. Probably not.
It's not infinite, but you'll get there. It's inevitable.
All right, Josh, this next card, I can't even say the word. It's Trissadexa, you know,
it's Pringle. It's a deck of file. One and a blue or a human wizard, a 1/3, wink wink. You have no maximum hand size. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you have exactly 13 cards in your hand, you win the game. And then you may has an additional ability of 3 and a blue, draw a card. This card is a... I love and hate this card. It's very fun. It's very flavorful. I'm going to put it in every blue EDH deck I have. It's an EDH All-Star. It'll probably see some play in Standard eventually with like some kind of like, you know, jank them out plan. I hate this card because it's... I hate cheesy win the game cards in EDH like that.
Yeah, this one specifically. So when it comes to like cheesy, like jank win conditions, like I've never been a fan of like Thassa's Oracle or Labman because those are too easy to accomplish. But I don't mind if someone wins in like a game of Modern with Battle of Wits. That doesn't bother me. It's like such a, or like something to overcome. It's so difficult. Or like beating somebody with like Door to Nothingness, because it's like those abilities are so massive, like you deserve it if you get there, right?
Right.
Whereas like this card like, takes like no effort.
Right. End step, draw X cards, I win the game. It's toxic almost.
You'll probably see a lot of play in Standard as control mirror sideboards. Like you'll just be like, I'm gonna bring this in because we're taking out our removal and I'll just draw cards.
It's not as egregious as Thassa's Oracle. I'll give it that, because Thassa's Oracle is the most toxic magic card I've ever encountered. I love this card for the flavor. I love the name. I love that it's a 1/3. This is a great card, other than it's going to be annoying in EDH.
So we got the last card, and this is actually an interesting card. It's Join the Dance. Green and a white for a sorcery that creates 2/1/1 human creature tokens, and then it has flashback for 3 green and a white. This is the first time I think they've ever printed a multicolored flashback card.
You are correct.
And not much to say about it, but we can see in this set right now, we have humans coming back. We have zombies clearly coming back, and I hope that zombie theme is kind of supported. We haven't seen the werewolves, even though they are going to be coming, essentially. But I wonder if they're going to split the werewolves. I wonder if this set's going to have zombies, humans and werewolves, and the other set is going to have spirits, vampires, and then maybe another
humans,
crabs.
You gotta have crabs.
The last thing we'll say about the set is the lands, the basic lands in the set.
Yeah, the basic lands are amazing. 10 out of 10. These are going to be my new draft lands.
I want to see how crazy these are going to look foil.
Oh, I'm sure.
I won't play with them foil because they'll probably curl like everything else does in Magic.
Dude, compared to Commander Legends, where it's like literal like 100 or it's like a literal circle. Some of them.
Yeah, better still not good enough though.
Right. The etch cards, while they may not look as cool, at least to some people,
those don't curl,
including myself, they don't curl at all.
What do you think of these lands, Tony?
I'm off it. I'm done with Flower lands.
Not even the black and white.
I don't care. Like I have full art fatigue. I'm done. I really do. Like I just have been unimpressed. This style's cool, but it's because I've seen so many different full arts. I just don't care for them anymore. Like if this would have got me if Unhinged, Unglued, and Zendikar lands, if full art only existed, but the fact that there's like 13 different iterations of full art lands, I don't care anymore.
I like it. I like that they're going this way. Especially when we just had a conversation about like with Snowlands, you can't play, you know, there's so many basic islands in Magic, but I'm forced to play these Snowlands right now because I have to play Snowlands. But and like people wanted to play their choice of basic. I'm all aboard them printing more flavorful full arts because I love this stuff. I'm going to find uses for these.
Yeah, they're definitely good draft lands, but I used to be really like tight about how I kept my stuff at Magic. Like, I mean, like every time I went to a draft, I had a set of draft lands that I brought with me. Now I'm at that point where I'm just like, yeah, I'll go to the basic land box, and if they match, they match. If they don't, good. Whatever opponent gets that advantage on me, good luck.
Agree. I feel that way about draft and limited in general, but when it comes to constructed, like actual formats, I try to at least match my basics. EDH, I don't care. Like, I could be running 35 forest in an EDH deck, and they would literally, every forest would be different.
Right.
If it's like, if I'm going to a big tournament, I obviously want to give myself the best chance possible, so I will try to run like lands that match. But if I don't have them, I'm not going to be sweating it.
It's be more of a thing for me for Standard, but yeah.
I do like these for searching up. I feel like these will be easily noticed.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's all different ways to notice them, but I'm going to tell you this.
They're hard to find.
If you have a hard time searching up lands in your deck, like
I'm blind, bro. You got to remember. I was going to say, because I haven't talked to you since you borrowed me that deck for Modern, I like how you purposely gave me Whiteboard or Bolt.
Yeah, I thought deeply about it. I was like, you know what?
I almost replaced them with my foil ones just because I was like, I don't want to look at these. This is so ugly. I can't stand it, man.
I'm trying to find Summer Edition Bolts, but I don't think I'll be able to find those.
Those are black border.
They gotta be like $1,000 a piece.
No, I think Summer Magic is white border. The difference between Summer Magic and whatever is like so minute. Even if I saw it, I don't think I would recognize it.
They still gotta be like $1,000 a piece, though.
Yeah, they're pretty ridiculous just because they don't exist, and it's they're so hard to identify.
There might only be like
a playset,
30 of them. I know there's only 12 of each rare.
I think when you look up Summer Magic on like TCG or any major site, they just don't have any prices listed because they've never had it in stock.
Right. No one sells it. It's like one guy has it all. Dan Bach.
All right, guys. That's going to be it for all the topics we wanted to cover. I know we kind of went over extensively, but we just got a little bit of a taste of this set. So I guess I looked at our email. Unfortunately, none. And I think I know why. It's because last week I forgot to remind people about our email. Shame on me.
Email us, especially Tony. Just be like, hey, Tony, I want to bother you with whatever my magic thing is. So yeah. I sent you this email.
And I'll forget about it.
Yeah, ask questions, make fun of us. It doesn't matter. Just email us.
Yeah, man. Just, you know, get on the keyboard, be a keyboard warrior, just yell at me.
Yell at JB for not adding fun nonsense at the end of last week's episode.
Yeah, what jank was that?
I think he got hit by a bolt of lightning or something and his power went out or something.
All right, guys. So I'm going to set you guys up with a question. I kind of prefaced you guys earlier on the show. What card in Magic is your like kryptonite? Not necessarily the card that's like the best card or whatever, but the card that just when you see it, you're just like, oh, not again.
So I actually like thought about it like throughout the podcast. I know I gave some like references earlier. I thought of truly the card that I cannot stand playing against when I see it. It makes me instantly tilted, and that is Teferi's Puzzle Box. I cannot stand that card in EDH. I instantly get tilted. I start like when in our play group, I've even yelled at the person who played it. I was like, you're a terrible Magic player for playing this card. I hate it. It doesn't allow you to be think or plan ahead. So it just makes the game drag on so long. I just cannot. That card is my kryptonite.
That's true. That's truth right there.
I wouldn't have put you on that card, and that's like not a card that's even in the realm of my thinking. That was like played in Modern for like 1 second.
Oh, I didn't. This is strictly EDH. Like, I don't think I've ever experienced this card in a real format.
We all hated that card for a while.
Wow. We just have a friend that likes to elongate his Magic games, and he would play Puzzle Box. And if you do it with Narset, at least you're locking me out of a hand, so I know I'm going to lose. But he would just play Puzzle Box by itself, and it's, oh my god. Like, oh, here's 7 more cards. Let's try to do something. Oh, you got counter spells. Cool. Next turn, put my hand down. I have nightmares about it, man. Right. I feel like I have PTSD right now talking about this.
All right, Josh, what do you got?
Thassa's Oracle is the card that gets under my skin the most. From format to format, all the way from Legacy to EDH. Every time I see it, it's just so cheesy and so 2-card combo, 3 mana, I win the game. It's so toxic and bothers me. I can't stand it. And I've definitely gotten salty about it before and like said some salty stuff to people over it. That's the card that gets underneath me. However, I will say that the card that's gotten the best of me the most is Wirewood Symbiote.
That card just beats you up because you don't understand how to play against it.
I have no idea how to play against that card.
You got to remember you can bolt it.
Right. But why would I do that when the deck's called Elves?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I like how both of you guys went to like the thought of EDH. The point of EDH is to have fun. And for whoever's playing the Teferi's Puzzle Box against you, Jeff, is just having the time of their life. And then
John. Oh, I bet. Right. What about you, man?
It's got to be Black Lotus. I hate that card. Why?
I forgot you play Vintage.
It's not even because of Vintage. It's because everybody talks about it like it's the best card. It's not the best card.
What do you think is the best card?
Except for Recall. Black Lotus is like a good number 2. But if we're talking like Michael Jordan of Magic, it's clearly Ancestral Recall. And Black Lotus is Scottie Pippen.
But Black Lotus... Black Lotus allows you to play Time Walk and Ancestral Recall on your first turn.
So does Island.
What about
no, it does not. Island does not allow you to play both cards.
Yeah, that's fair. Island, Mock Sapphire.
I do agree that Ancestral Recall is the best Power 9 card, though. I don't think it's black. I put Black Lotus around, like, 3. I think it goes Ancestral Recall, Time Walk, Black Lotus.
Time Walk is, like, the worst of the Power 9.
What? Two mana, gain an extra turn? That's insane.
Oh, I've read it. Yeah, I know.
Mishra's Workshop, Time
Vault, Power 9.
Voltaic Key. Right? I win the game?
No.
Well, Time Vault's like it on its own, like... Black Lotus is, well, I guess for that matter, to be another argument against Black Lotus, it's not good on its own. If you top deck a Black Lotus, it's feces. But if you top deck, when is Ancestral Recall bad? What point of the game would it be bad? Unless your opponent's got an Narset.
Yeah.
When you have no cards in your deck.
Wouldn't Black Lotus be bad too?
What if you just got Armageddon?
It's still great. You just drew 3 lands probably.
With what mana?
You're terrible at this game.
I feel like we're really stretching here to try to like prove. I like I said, I don't think Black Lotus is the best. I agree with you on that.
My real card, it's Teferi Tower Marvel. How it exists in it, like from a gaming standpoint.
I will agree. That card.
I was the guy that made you hate Teferi.
Teferi definitely tilted me sometimes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Teferi tilted a lot of people. A lot of the amount of times I would just play him on turn 3 in Legacy, even, and people would just scoop and like walk away.
All right. I know we're running long, but I feel like I got to ask this because we talked about both of these Planeswalkers today. Which was more a worse Planeswalker to deal with at 3 mana, Teferi or Oko?
Oh, not close.
I agree it's Oko, but I do think it's a lot closer than you think it is.
They're both toxic. I think Teferi only lives so long because Oko got printed.
Yeah, that's fair, but so if we look at like Limit Isolated, Teferi's plus one actually doesn't really do much. It's like flavor text most of the time, right? Because most of the decks are already playing things at instant, so it doesn't matter. It guarantees that your things don't get countered, so like it's good for combo decks, but because it's in blue-white, it doesn't really go into a combo deck. Oko just came down, and there's no way to deal with it. If you go like Teferi minus, you have at least an out to attack with a Monastery Swift Spirit, attack, or like hit it with a bolt, or... You name it. Oko, yeah. If you don't have like a counter spell on this turn for it, or
you're never killing it.
There's no way. It's completely done. So like it's Oko by a lot, but Teferi is something that we still experience in both Legacy and Modern. People still to this day when they play against it, they forget and they don't realize it. This is something that happens more in like face to face Magic when they like try to like cast a spell and you're like, well, that's not how it works, but thanks for the information. Like that happens so frequently, and they're just like, right. Well, can't do that. You finally see the wheels start turning in their head, like, oh my god, oh no.
Yep.
All right, guys, that's gas. We're gonna wrap it up. You can always follow us on Facebook and or Twitter. I try to tweet more on there, and I'm not gonna forget like I did last week. You can always email questions at us at paperplayerpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to ask us about what we're doing in our lives. If I still own tech decks, who knows? And Josh, you can't say your usual sign off of it's Wednesday, my dudes, because it's actually Thursday. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. You are listening to the Paper Podcast. Damn it. Fuck that up.
You're a paper.
Too
difficult. I can't read a script.